only link for Lake Oswego to downtown Portland, is constrained. ODOT looked at it several years ago to try to figure out, is there a way to expand it? If you've ever driven it, you know there's cliffs on both sides. It's, for a lot of its length, it's a bridge. So it would be prohibitively expensive to try to expand Highway 43. Seeing that, more than 20 years ago, the people in this region very wisely bought the Willamette shoreline as a transit shoreline, a transit route that we could eventually build a connection along that whole shoreline, but connecting Lake Oswego up to the region. That was a pretty smart investment. It was about $2 million, and we are pretty sure now that it's worth $80 to $90 million. You've made some very prudent amendments this morning to make sure that before we move a lot of money into this project, that we get a better figure for that shoreline. What is it really worth? Because it is our local match. I mean, this is a pretty affordable project for this region. It looks like an expensive project, but because of that local match, it's really quite affordable. But we have to make sure that that local match is what we think it is. I think the other thing that's prudent that you've said, and the mayor and the city council in Lake Oswego last night adopted the same kind of language, we need to know that development will happen in the foothills area in Lake Oswego. We have to have a sense of what the value is of that. The preliminary numbers we heard several weeks ago at the steering committee were that we would be able to see $300 million in investment in along the corridor, $300 million more in South Waterfront, around $300 million more in John's Landing, and another $300 million more in Foothills. So it's close to $1 billion in investment along the corridor, leveraged because of the streetcar project. So I think that in the broad perspective, it's an affordable project, it's a regional benefit, it's, I think, a pretty tremendous opportunity for the city of Portland, city of Lake Oswego, but also the region, to leverage an investment now, an investment that was made in the past, and build a great project. You're going to hear today that the Citizens Advisory Committee was very supportive of the project. They're very close to it. They studied it very carefully. I think it's important. We have these Citizen Advisory Committees because we want people to have the opportunity to really carefully study the projects. A lot of times the rest of us, I mean, I have to study it because it's my job, but a lot of times other people don't have the opportunity to really study it, to really look at the numbers. So when the Citizens Advisory Committee votes to support it, you know they've looked at it pretty darn hard. Similarly, the steering committee, which I co-chair, looked at it and has watched this project over the past couple of years and voted with very broad support to support the streetcar option, as you heard again from Patrick. It really is the most cost-effective option. It's the option that makes the best use of that right-of-way. It's the option that provides reliable transportation in and out of our communities, and we can't really get that in the Highway 43 corridor with just buses or by doing nothing new. So I think I'm going to turn it over now to the rest of my colleagues, unless you have questions for me.
I think continuing with the regional theme, I'm Alan Leto. I'm the Director of Project Planning at TriMet. I'm here on behalf of Neil McFarlane, our General Manager, who sends his regrets. He is meeting with our Committee on Accessible Transportation, which helps us ensure that we meet the mobility needs of physically and mentally challenged residents of our region. First, I want to just talk a little bit about the project and where we are and the status. I think you heard during the presentation that at an LPA vote like this, it is pretty standard to have a number of questions still on the table because there are a number of checkpoints along the path of a development of a project. What that means is that it is a choice to go forward, not a choice to actually develop the project necessarily, but it does mean that there will still be some questions that need to be figured out, and that's what the very next stage is all about. It also means that it is pretty typical at this stage for a finance plan to be a concept rather than a hard reality. As each step goes along, the finance plan gets refined, the cost is understood better, and we are able to get more clarity with all of the partners on a project. Unfortunately, that's the way a project runs. There are too many variables, and there's just too much to find out over time to have everything figured out at the very beginning. This wanted to point out that we have successfully pursued multiple projects at one time in the past. I think that's been a question that has come up. We do our best to do so, and we've been successful at doing so. And that means that, for example, pursuing this project or not pursuing this project has no implication for the Milwaukee project, which is about to go into construction this summer, nor for the Southwest Corridor project on I-599W and heading to the Southwest neighborhoods and beyond. We are able to pursue more than one, both in terms of looking at state funding, federal funding. There are many other regions that have done the same. Our TriMet board will be voting in July on the LPA, so we have not had a final vote on it, but I'm here to convey our general manager's recommendations that have gone to our board and was conveyed in a letter that actually was quoted in the presentation earlier today that went to the steering committee for the Lake Oswego project. The transportation investments that we make in transit obviously should go to strengthen corridors, main streets, centers. And the Highway 43 corridor especially is, as you know, extremely constrained. This is a real opportunity to create a new transit option in this corridor that has no other real options for improving transportation in the long run. The analysis in the DEIS shows that over time, the streetcar project appears to be the most cost-effective, the most effective, and the most the best long-term solution for the corridor. That's both in terms of sort of raw transportation benefits and also in terms of the benefits that you've heard very clearly about development over time around streetcar projects, both for John's Landing and for the city of Lake Oswego. And that the timing of those development, the opportunity and the planning and the setting the ground for that planning needs to be lined up with the timing for the project itself so that things go together. On the financial side, which has been a question brought up a number of times, we've been very clear, and I think you've heard, that TriMet cannot and will not be providing any money for the capital project. For the capital construction of this project. That means that in the near term, for the number of years, however long it took to develop a project, if we do go forward, there will be no impact on the services that we provide for the rest of the region, good or bad, no impact. The DEIS projection for the future shows that the demand, as congestion grows, as there is are more jobs and more employment in the region, the demand is such that to handle that demand with enhanced bus actually costs more to operate than it would to operate the streetcar, because the streetcar has the higher capacity, which means it can carry more people, and because it's operating in a mostly exclusive right-of-way and not fighting that congestion. So over time, the projection shows that we would actually have more ability to use those funds that we would otherwise be putting into buses on this corridor for service throughout the region.
Could I make a request on that?
Absolutely.
My guess is, from what I've read in my emails and in the paper, is that for many people that is counterintuitive, what you just said.
Yeah, so let me expand on it. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I'd be happy to let you expand on it, but let me just say that it, for a number of people, it's counterintuitive, and I would welcome, following this hearing, a more detailed written explanation that supports what you just said in terms of long-term operating costs, and because I'm interested in understanding that at a deeper level, because as I said, I think for many people that seems counterintuitive, but I would welcome your additional comment.
And I'd like to also, so you can reply to us both at once, we're not currently expanding bus service, we're cutting bus service, so how does the cost of operating a streetcar compare with the cost of operating our current system?
A couple of things. One, we can definitely get more information back to you over time. It will be based on the DEIS analysis. The information is in there, but it's probably not presented in a simple and clear manner that you'd be looking for. The point I was trying to make is that in any corridor with lots of demand, especially peak demand, a vehicle that, one, can avoid congestion, and two, can carry more people, means that we have to send fewer vehicles into that corridor to serve the peak demand than if we're doing it with buses. The long-term projection for this corridor says that the demand is such that we would have to use enough buses so that the more efficient per-ride cost of providing streetcar overweighs the fact that streetcar costs more per hour than it does to provide an hour of bus.
But regardless of the demand, we're currently cutting buses so that we have people packed on the number 12 bus at 9:30 at night, standing room only. We're not adding the demands. We're not adding capacity in buses. So how does the cost of running a streetcar with maybe 60 people on it compare with the cost of running a bus with 60 people on it?
So that brings me to my next point, which I think it brings me to my next point, and then check me on whether I'm answering your question. The long-term operating cost for this project, you've heard that TriMet recognizes as a regional service that we would be providing operating costs for the project. We would not necessarily be able to do it on day one, because our higher priority is to restore the services on our productive frequent service bus routes throughout the region than to commit to the next project. And so part of the finance plan is to identify whether there is a gap in the operating needs in the first few years, and if so, where the sources for that operating come from. The point being that we recognize and feel very deeply the fact that we are having to cut service in this economic downturn right now, and not happy to do so, and very much want to restore that as quickly as possible, and that is a higher commitment or a higher priority than providing this new service beyond.
So if I could just sort of summarize my understanding, and you correct me where I'm wrong, there's sort of two ways to look at it, but they all end with the same conclusion as far as I'm concerned, and that is that we're not going to cannibalize funding for buses outside of this corridor that is served by the potential streetcar or Highway 43. We're just not going to do that.
That's correct.
But there are two ways to look at it. One is sort of steady state, assuming that congestion doesn't get worse on 43. The projections show that it is going to get worse, so you can judge it against the anticipated increase in funding for buses on Highway 43 and how much you would save by the streetcar. Or you can assume we're not going to have the additional congestion and does it save money under sort of the assume we get lucky and the status quo stays exactly the same on congestion.
So wanted to just ask a question on this point, because I thought it was pretty well established throughout the Citizen Advisory Committee process and the local government committee that there was a two-year period that TriMet would not be able to operate the streetcar.
That was our that's still our estimate
sooner
right now.
I guess it would be you can't operate it any sooner than, and what year is that?
2019.
Okay.
And
so
that's still our estimate right now.
Finished before then, which I think it's scheduled to be finished before then. There's no source for TriMet to operate it without taking away from other services, and you sort of just said that, right? There has to be.
There would
some
need to be
solution.
Identification of a source for a gap if that gap continues to remain.
And is that source within TriMet, or are you talking more broadly that's a source?
I think it's the project as a whole's responsibility to identify where to do that within the policies that
the regional project.
All of the
so we don't
the,
want to give away the store rate.
Within the policies that our board sets and within the policies that this council, the Lake Oswego City Council, everybody is creating for this project.
And we're not able to answer that question adequately until we undertake the next phase. But the bottom line is we're not going to cannibalize bus service or transit service in other parts outside of this corridor. We're just not.
That's correct. We're trying to make as clear as possible that we are very committed to prioritizing bringing back that frequency on those frequent service bus routes before we're committing to new projects. So briefly, let me try to wrap up here. On the capital cost, you've heard that the Willamette Shoreline land is a real opportunity that brings down significantly the local capital cost required for the project. That is fairly unique in this case. And as with all projects, if there's delay, it will never get cheaper, unfortunately, which is why it makes some sense to move forward and at least take the next step to understand it better. Finally, as I said, these projects are a long road or perhaps a long track with many checkpoints, many steps. And at this point, given the information we have, it made sense to move forward to the next step and continue to refine our understanding and move towards the possibility of taking the steps beyond that.
Mayor, if I could just ask one other question. In light of the timing and the sequence of decision-making, do you anticipate TriMet placing any conditions on moving forward that are outside of what's been presented to us at this hearing?
At this time, I think it's generally within the same realm of what we're seeing from the city of Lake Oswego and from the conversations that we've had so far here. The other one that we might really focus on is ensuring that the timing of the planning and the visioning for the development in Lake Oswego and along John's Landing really lines up with this project so that we do get those twin benefits of marrying the transportation and the development over time.
And finally, I guess we've talked a lot about the operating costs. What are the annual operating costs projected to be?
I think I'd want to double-check before I started running numbers in front of you, but I believe it is could I look to Doug to answer that?
3.8
million a year,
right,
per operation. Okay. Thanks.
And obviously that's an initial confidence estimate. Has to be
given the,
into the next phase.
Given the frequencies that were needed to supply the demand shown.
And is that the net operating cost, or does that
that's
not
the,
take
that's
into
the
account?
Total operating cost, and then you would then net out fares.
I think it's important for us to hear that number.
Yeah, and I don't have it right offhand. The number is in the documents, and we can pull it up probably in just a moment.
Because the true cost would be that, correct?
Good
point.
Net affairs? Is it?
Well, he gave you the cost without reducing the amount
without deducting the fares. Yeah.
So the net operating cost, being told, $1.25 million.
And does that reflect our experience with how many people actually pay their streetcar fare?
Yeah, what we're looking at for both the east side that's under construction now and for anything that extends beyond is much more vigorous fare compliance, because it is all outside the fare free zone, unlike the current system, which is mostly inside it.
Mayor Hoffman.
Good morning, Mayor Adams and commissioners. My name is Jack Hoffman. I'm mayor of Lake Oswego. So last night we had a vote. It was a rather contentious meeting, emotional meeting, but in the end, the city council voted 4-3 to move the streetcar as the locally preferred alternative. As part of the meeting last night, I just want to share with you, I had to make a disclosure that because I'm not a full-time mayor or a full-time commissioner, well, kind of am, but I am also an attorney with Dunn Carney. And so Dunn Carney, my law firm, has some clients, and they're Oregon Iron Works, U.S. Streetcar, United Streetcar, Gertie Nedlund, PGE, and OTAC. And so I had to make a disclosure that I had a potential conflict of interest, but not an actual conflict of interest. And the Oregon Ethics Commission said it was fine that I could continue to participate, so just in terms of full disclosure. So last night we had a 4-3 vote. Like I said, it was highly emotional, controversial. There is a well-organized opposition to this streetcar, and I think you've all been contacted by the organizer of the opposition. Highly politicized. We received a lot of emails, a flurry of emails in the last 6 to 8, 10 days, predominantly against the streetcar as a project. And that was driving some of us to say that we need to reach out to our community to make sure that they are not reacting on misinformation or lack of information. So that was one of the driving factors for as our Exhibit B to the resolution, is similar to what Mayor Adams has talked about with your resolution. We are going out for and agreed to go out to, for an advisory vote in May of 2012, or not later than May of 2012. And that will give us time to do a number of things, and the project time to do a number of things, as we talked about. So our concerns, our hesitation is the same as the city of Portland. So in some respects, the northern portal, my northern partner, you guys, and the southern partner, like Oswego, are really traveling to the same beat. We're on the same page, to actually mix metaphors. So we both are concerned about the finances, and this is a new era, a new normal in terms of finances. So on our Exhibit B, we want to have certain conditions done before we go into the preliminary engineering or make that next step in terms of a vote. And we as a Lake Oswego City Council, want to make sure we understand the value of the Willamette Shore right-of-way, that we have our own Lake Oswego financial strategy for our portion, that we complete the Foothills District Framework Plan, and I'll talk about that, and that we ask for the same studies and reports to the council that basically you all have asked for. So what's good about this project is that the Portland staff and the Lake Oswego staff and the regional staff are working closer and closer together as we move down the track on this project. And so that is reassuring to me that both of us have the same concerns and moving at this, basically at the same speed. So in terms of the value of the transit, as we all know, we've talked about Foothills, and I'll talk about Foothills in terms of where it is with respect to Lake Oswego, but we look at the transit project, the streetcar, as reducing congestion, addressing the transit issues on the corridor, the greenhouse gas emission issue, and then also I personally look at, and a number of us look at, the streetcar not as an end in and of itself. It doesn't create development by itself, but rather is an enabler. And so we're looking at it to facilitate development within Foothills, which is 100, 120 acres. And right now, we are in the process of a framework plan. I think we will be finished in September 2012, being done by Williams Damon White. And that framework plan will set the stage for the next phase or the next decision that the Lake Oswego City Council will have to make in terms of moving forward on Foothills. And I anticipate that the Foothills discussion, because we've had numbers of discussions in Lake Oswego before, but we talk about housing choices. We talk about providing housing for families that will support our school system, because our school system is, in some respects, following some of the school systems in Portland, we're having a declining enrollment, and that's causing a lot of pain, a lot of concern. So one answer to that is to provide the kind of housing, create the kind of housing that the millennials will like to move into. We also are sensitive to aging in place. We have seniors, senior citizens in our town and in our community that are place bound. They can't move out of their home. The other thing that's important to us is the downtown revitalization. If we believe in the 2040 program in terms of corridors, in terms of centers, then Lake Oswego needs to step up and make sure that this downtown continues to be a vital central place, a vital center. And so that's what we see in terms of development for Foothills, in terms of how it adds value to Lake Oswego. We have two prior reports that are maybe 5 years old that I anticipate that as we move through the Foothills process, we should dust them off. One is the Affordable Housing Task Force, and the other is the 50-plus Task Force. And both those identified the need in Lake Oswego for different types of housing types and to respond to the aging population in terms of transportation and housing. So I anticipate that they will inform both our discussion and decision in terms of going forward, and I would anticipate that the council will look at those reports in terms of any development agreement as the next step on Foothills. I see this project, this partnership between Lake Oswego and Portland, as a clear signal to the rest of the region that we don't necessarily have to expand the urban growth boundary to accommodate the new people coming into the region, that we can do better along corridors that are existing with the addition of smart, sustainable transit. I also see it as creating three nodes, the South Waterfront node, the Johns Landing node, and the Foothills District node, the three nodes that would be connected by the streetcar. So next steps are to participate in the preliminary engineering stage and just move forward. The other thing that was mentioned is that the majority of the council wanted a survey, so I anticipate that we'll be working on trying to get a sense of the pulse of our community as we move forward in this second step. And I would be happy to answer any questions. Oh, to answer Commissioner Fritz's question, Foothills. Part of Foothills, if you look at the entire 107, 120 acres, is in the original Lake Oswego Urban Renewal District. And we will be looking at expanding that district and or adding to it. Those are just part of the financial analysis, the financial due diligence.
Thank you for answering that. Will you maybe have an affordable housing requirement in any expansion?
I think that will be a topic of conversation with the council. And again, that's why I referenced the 50-plus task force and the affordable housing task force. I think that's a conversation that the council, both as the council and as the Lake Oswego Redevelopment Agency, needs to have with its community, with its adult community center, with its advocates.
And what might the timeline on any expansion of the Foothills or the downtown URA be?
The framework plan will be presented to the Lake Oswego City Council in September 2011. So at that time, we will make decisions. Do we accept the framework plan? Do we not accept the framework plan? If we accept it with modifications, and then do the next steps.
And Mayor Hoffman, I want to thank you for your leadership on Lake Oswego and your partnership with the mayor and me at the Metro Policy Advisory Committee. It's, we do need to work together regionally, and you have certainly taken the lead on that.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure.
Mayor, if I could follow up on what you talked about and housing choices, and I, as the housing commissioner for the city, I very much appreciate the way you frame that. Choices, and you've identified family-friendly housing to keep kids in the schools. You've identified aging in place, which is, with the graying of our region, vitally important. And you've also identified the need for low-wage workers and others priced out of the market, and presumably that's what your affordable housing task force looked at. I would like to observe that when former President Collette, you were actually president for a while, so I want to give you your due, former President Collette, we had a chance to serve with her, I think it was during your tenure, although there was no cause and effect, that we learned that we were not successful in our grant application for the Sustainable Communities Grant from HUD, which was going to fund a regional big look at housing choices and specifically look at this question of equity. Where are the needs? How do we meet the needs regionally? And that's beyond just dollars. That's actually how we collaborate to make sure that Clackamas County gets its fair share of Hope 6 dollars to meet its needs, and we are strategic. And I just want to say that this opportunity, it seems to me, around the Foothills development and along this streetcar is not simply a matter of concern to Lake Oswego and Portland, because without that Sustainable Communities grant and framework, I think this allows us on a smaller scale to put into practice the things that we're talking about at the metro level, which is thinking about housing regionally and making sure that there are choices regionally. And again, that's not just a dollar issue. Sometimes that gets too much attention. That is really also a collaboration issue and figuring out where the needs are and how we collaborate to reach those ends. So we look forward to working with you on that.
And I do too.
Thank you.
So I'm just curious about the advisory vote in May.
Yes, May.
I just wanted to ask a question.
Different.
I just wanted to ask a question of Mayor Hoffman.
Sorry. You were chair of what?
The Community Advisory Committee. I think you're referring to the May advisory vote
yes.
of the count.
Yes.
In Lake Oswego.
We'll get to you
so,
in a minute.
So did you discuss the
the wording of that measure, or
no.
How's that going to happen?
We did not describe the wording of the measure. It was just that we will have a well-defined advisory vote of city residents no later than May 2012 on the direction the community would like to see relative to transit investments impacting Lake Oswego. So given the 4-3 split and the emotional aspect of this and the highly politicized aspect of this, we will be moving forward to put more details on this.
Was the nomenclature well-defined? Is that the word?
It was a well-defined advisory vote.
Okay. That'll be a fun hearing to decide on well-defined. Thank you, Mayor. Really
Thank you,
appreciate
Mayor.
It.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Chair McPeak, could you please tell folks so a little bit about the process and who is involved? And
I'd be happy to.
Thank you.
Mayor Adams, Commissioners, I'm Ellie McPeak. I chaired the Community Advisory Committee, which was a required part of the DEIS process. I want to tell you how we went about our work, and the conclusion is that we can offer you an advisory vote now that was quite solid in favor of the streetcar alternative, but I'm getting ahead of the story. What was this CAC? As I said, it was required by the DEIS, and the goal was to bring together a small group of really interested people who would be affected by the choice of alternative. People who lived in the corridor, people who work in the corridor, people who have property in the corridor. They were brought into regular and direct contact with the planners and policymakers involved in this project. It was a sounding board, no more than that, but no less, and I think it had value. Who were the members of this small group? 23 people were selected from a pool of 50 volunteers from the following parts of the corridor. From South Waterfront, 2 members. From the South Portland Johns Landing area, 5 members, including 2 owners of condos along the Willamette shoreline. From the unincorporated area between Portland and Lake Oswego, 5 members, 3 who had property along the Willamette shoreline. In Lake Oswego, 7 members, representing each affected neighborhood in Lake Oswego, 2 downtown business owners, a condo owner in Foothills, and a representative of the property owners in Foothills. 1 member from West Lynn, a woman who commutes regularly by public transportation to OHSU. And finally, 1 member of the Bicycle Transportation Alliance. Many of the above, which I've already shown you, were dual-hatted, had other hats representing transit riders, the North McAdam Urban Renewal Advisory Committee, Portland Streetcar Inc.'s Citizen Advisory Committee. So it was a very diverse group with strong points of view for various reasons. We deliberately had such a membership so that we could feed information to these members. They would react to that information, ask questions, bring to the DEIS their own additional valuable information. Little wet my whistle. The CAC met 16 times, beginning in October 2009. Some of the information we received dealt with costs, crime and safety issues, traffic projections, population and ridership projections from experts in the field, both from Metro staff and consultants. We had summary meetings where we had an open discussion, everyone attending the January 2011 meeting spoke about their points of view at that point regarding the 3 alternatives. I was surprised and wondered what the vote we would make in February would be, and I'll show you what it was. And you can decide for yourself why it turned out this way from this diverse group of individuals with strong reasons to be involved in this choice of LPA. Our vote was this. 20 people attended the meeting. 3 were absent. 16 voted in favor of the streetcar alternative. 2 voted for enhanced bus. 1 voted for no build. 1 abstained from voting. So if you take those 16 pro streetcar votes out of the 23 members of the CAC, that is slightly better than a 2/3 vote. I would never have predicted that at the beginning. We didn't take a projected vote at the beginning, but the feeling was not what we ended up with. So I was surprised. I hope you can use this information to help raise your level of confidence about your decisions. If you have any questions, I would be happy to try to answer them.
Thank you for your service, and thank you all for being here today. We will extend courtesies of the House to elected officials and former elected officials. So how many elected officials do we have? Please come forward. Mayor Hammerstedt, do you want to come forward, please? Once you're a mayor, you're always a mayor, and you always get courtesies of the House.
That's a new rule.
No, it's state legislature. Yeah. That's why Bear Cat's a problem. Shall we begin? Would you like to begin? Or did you have a particular order you wanted to go in?
I would defer to our former mayor.
Well, we've heard a lot of pro, so I think it's okay that the mayor, if you don't mind, will hear some concerns. So let's begin with you.
Terry, go ahead. Thank you. Hi, my name is Terry Cummings, Westland City Council. I come to you this morning with a concern about the unintended consequences of the streetcar to the citizens of Westland. I see that in your principles, Principle 4 reads, streetcar operations shall not be at the expense of transit services elsewhere. B says, before moving into final design, City Council will require additional assurances that TriMet can operate the LOPT streetcar alignment without degradation to bus operations elsewhere. This is predicated on reducing bus services to Westland. I got on TriMet.org to see when I could take the bus here, and this is what it said. There are no TriMet stops within walking distance of where you are starting. You may need to use another transit service. That's what it says. I'm guessing that at least 2/3 of Westland would get the same thing. There is no bus service to our city hall. I have no reason to believe with this option that there ever will be. Our bus service will be even worse if you choose it. Right now, bus 35 travels through West Lynn to University of Portland nonstop. I mean uninterrupted, not nonstop. But this option would force transit riders to get off and get on the streetcar and transfer yet again. This increases the transit time, the inconvenience. It's difficult, more difficult for people with disabilities to transfer and wait. And I don't think any transit decisions should increase transit users' travel time. It should improve it. This affects people's decision about whether to even use transit. Most of West Lynn is on a hill, and it's not likely that we'll ever have streetcars serving our city. We're not the only city with this problem. Oregon City and Lake Oswego also is a hilly area that would be better served by more nimble bus services. When I was at the Climate Leadership Summit recently, polling results of about 300 mostly government official type people chose the best option for carbon reduction strategy today is to expand traffic signal timing to give transit priority to buses at intersections. This is a very economical, feasible way to facilitate transit using the existing infrastructure. It's a proven method, and it's the most affordable, and it's the most resilient for outside communities that are not going to be able to be having a streetcar option come to their town anytime too soon. I also don't think that the development plans for the Lake Oswego foothills area is intuitive. A plot of land wedged between a lake, a river, a sewer plant on floodplain served by a narrow highway doesn't sound like a realistic development opportunity. I'm here to ask you to please focus on the greater good transit for our entire metro area, and please don't allow unintended consequences of this LO streetcar to affect our citizens. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your testimony. Ma'am.
My name is Mary Olson. I'm a city councilor for the city of Lake Oswego. I would like to second what Councilor Cummings just noted about the unintended consequences of this project on our neighbors to the south, both in West Lynn and the many commuters on Line 35 from Oregon City as well. Sometimes those of us who are opposed to this particular project are painted as transit opponents or people who don't like streetcars. Just to give you a little personal context, I grew up in Portland. When I was a kid, I went to Grant High School. We took the bus everywhere to Lloyd Center downtown. When I got my first job out of college, working for the city of Portland, I took the bus to work every day from Northeast Portland. Later on, I lived in John's Landing and enjoyed the pathways there. I am not opposed to good transit projects that make sense for our region. In fact, I think that this project is such a bad idea when there are much higher priorities to improve transit in our region. And that is one of many reasons I'm opposed to it. This is not the traditional streetcar model. This is a proposed straight commuter line to a suburb. The streetcar model is not meant to be a commuter line. It is a circulator model. You get off, you get on. It's a loop system in an urban setting, not aligned to a bedroom community. In my opinion, it makes more sense to take it through John's Landing, if they indeed truly want it, and over the Selwood Bridge to a dense community on the other side of Selwood that has much worse transit congestion than we do. The highest costs related to this project and the most environmental damage is in the 2 miles south of the Selwood Bridge. All the mitigation that would be required, the largest part of the cost and the damage, with no development opportunity in that stretch because it goes through Parks and Dunthorpe. I don't know why you folks want to commit your dollars to a regional project that has no benefit. I hope you have all received and taken the time to read the letter from the Audubon Society, which very clearly lays out the extensive environmental damage from this project. The talk of, you know, thousands of gallons of gasoline saved by having a streetcar, they neglect to tell you the millions of gallons of gasoline that will be used to construct the streetcar. The savings from running the streetcar It'll take 170 years to get back what is spent to construct the streetcar. Those savings are also predicated on the rather silly idea that we're all going to be using internal combustion engines still by the year 2035, and that our buses won't be either biodiesel or electric by then. You heard the gentleman from TriMet say they don't plan to operate the streetcar when it opens, and it has been discussed that our city will be expected to pony up to operate the streetcar, at least in the beginning. Neil McFarland has said that to us. We're not a transit agency. We don't have the money to operate a streetcar. Our neighbors to the south in Wilsonville are still budgeting $300,000 a year for their share to operate WES, and that's an indefinite ongoing contribution. Last night, as you know, we had a split vote in our community. Even though the Oregonian says we punched the ticket for the streetcar, in fact, our vote was really a rejection of the process and the DEIS. There is so much bad information in the DEIS that our city council and yourselves had to have a long addendum to spell out what needed to be done to get better answers. An independent audit of the project costs and budget, a verifiable amount allocated to the right-of-way. After years and years of study and $7 million to get us to this point to try and justify the streetcar, the answers are so bad they need to spend another $500,000 to try and get new answers. The DEIS says that this project should engender broad public support. It does not do that in our community. Never have I seen our community so opposed to anything. And we do have opposition to a lot of things in our community. This is not our community's vision. It may be Metro's vision. It may be your vision. It is the developer's vision, but it's not our citizens' vision. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony and being here today. Sir?
My name is Jeff Goodman. I'm an elected city council member in November 2010. Goodman is G-U-D-M-A-N. I am not city center parking. It is amusing to hear the opposition is highly organized, emotional, and politicized. That's generally the comment from people who are on the opposite side and wish to portray the other people as in disagreement and therefore not valuable or to be valued in their opinion. 300 emails have been received by the citizens of our community. An equivalent amount of number emails on one topic for the city of Portland would be 5,000. Have you received 5,000 emails on any topic in a short period of time in your service on this council?
Duct tape for the Rose Parade.
JTTF. we could go on, but we get your point.
I can see the duct tape.
Yeah.
I'm sure the duct tape was what. Okay. And as a lifelong Portland resident, Commissioner Leonard, I appreciate your efforts.
Thank you.
The metro area president. Public testimony was the Portland equivalent of 1,600 people coming to testify, leaving their daily lives to come and testify on a topic. I think it would be fair to say you've never had 1,600 people come to testify. And that those people testifying were in opposition 2-1. If you want consensus on a project, you don't have it. Of our four recent mayors, including our current mayor, 2 are opposed, 2 are in favor. This council is divided 4-3. I specifically ran on opposition to this project in November of 2010. Not opposition to transit projects in general, not opposition to freight, bike pathways, walking pathways, road improvements, this one particular project. I am a bit of a policy wonk. I dive down into the detail and then resurface to look at the big picture. Every assumption, not every assumption, almost every assumption that gets examined in this DEIS, when pushed upon, gets modified. The amount of development projected, it's been modified down dramatically. When the question is asked, if you reduce the amount of development, does that reduce the amount of projected ridership? Answer, no. Those are different assumptions. Nowhere in the DEIS was that ever made clear. It was presented as a unified whole. If you don't have the development, you don't have the ridership. If you don't have the projected development, you don't have the incremental taxes to pay for our share of the capital cost. As has been pointed out, the primary, although not the most, not the exclusive, the primary source of paying for the capital cost of this project will be an urban renewal district, an existing urban renewal district, which, as you are aware, have certain limitations as to how much debt capacity or maximum indebtedness can be done. We have a number of projects that we wish to do that have been approved and adopted, although not yet implemented, in a list of projects by our city. To do a streetcar, we will have to sacrifice a new library. And I am not prepared to sacrifice a new library on the altar of the streetcar. It is simply not an acceptable alternative. You will hear that, yes, that's a false choice, Jeff. I say, no, it is not. It is about making choices. It is about understanding that you cannot do it all at one particular time and that there are resources. You have heard it is about the development of community. It is about vision. It is about creating transit options. It is about creating income housing options. Whenever I hear someone continually speaking about vision, options, choices, and saying it's not about the money, it's about the money. We cannot do it all. This is not a good project. If the development does not occur as projected, there will be no money to pay for it, and they will turn to the Bank of Portland and the Bank of Lake Oswego. You have better things you can do with your money. It was very carefully presented in the presentation from TriMet and very artfully chosen in the words about the operating costs. TriMet has made it very clear that while it is their desire to pay the operating costs of the streetcar, they don't have the money to do it at this point when it's operational, and we will have to find other funding sources. Very careful wording, other funding sources. I'd like to be specific on that. That means the city of Portland and the city of Lake Oswego, which specifically means you take money away from other needed projects or you ask the citizens to raise their taxes. Going forward, to get to the FEIS will require $25 million. Metro has committed six. Nothing in writing, merely verbal. Although a statement to say they want to commit six. We are expected as a city to come up with $2.5 million. Portland is being asked for $2.5 million. The state of Oregon is being asked to come up with $14 million. As of three days ago, Senator Devlin noted that in the governor's budget that was presented to the legislature, there is no money in the governor's budget for this $14 million. There might be. But as of right now, there is not. Where's the money going to come from? In closing, the assumptions behind this are soft. Every time you look at the implications of the assumptions, when they are changed, when you ask about them, the answers provide results which say you can't pay for what you want. When you look at talking about housing options, Lake Oswego is a wealthy community, no question. What we have in our community, which would be counted for low-income or moderate-income housing, is Oswego Point, part of the Foothills Redevelopment Agency, the Urban Renewal Redevelopment Agency area. That area is being talked about for being upzoned. So in the name of a streetcar in redevelopment. We will upzone an area where for our city we have moderate to low income housing and replace it with higher income housing. Does that make sense? I ask you to reject the choice of the streetcar as the LPA going forward. There is not consensus in our community.
Mayor Adams, before we take more testimony, may I ask you a scheduling question?
I was just going to get to that, but I wanted to thank first the council for your testimony and for being here today. Unless there's objection from council, let's just poll council, that will take up the rest of the regular agenda at 2 o'clock. Is the auditor in the room? Question.
Well, I have a
housing project.
So, Mayor, I have a time certain that was moved already to 2 o'clock.
So after the time certain? How long do you think your time certain will take?
Well, we've requested 20 minutes. No, we'll try to keep it under 30 minutes.
Okay. We also have a 2:20 time certain. So.
And I'm guessing that 383 is I know District Attorney Mike Schrunk is here.
Is the district attorney here?
He's outside.
So how about this? After we finish with this panel, we will suspend the rules to take District Attorney Schrunk's testimony, but we'll consider, unless there's another elected official in the House, we'll consider that this afternoon. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. And we have, 28 people signed up?
Yeah, we have a lot.
Okay.
So sorry for the interruption. So if you're here for any of the items on the regular agenda, we will pick those up likely around 2:45 or 3 o'clock, okay, because we have two time certains. We don't want to leave you in the room if waiting all that time. So apologize for the interruption. Mayor Hammerstedt.
Mayor Adams and commissioners, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to testify before you. This project, as you've heard, has a long history, and as it comes to the culmination of this very first phase and looking at more information, you can tell by the testimony that's been given in this panel that there is disagreement. And I'm not here to debate that disagreement. It's very heartfelt and led very effectively by the opposition and their paid lobbyists and our counselors who have been very much involved in the killing of the streetcar. But I'm not... the points that they make are the points that they make from their point of view, and I'm not criticizing that at all. I think that the information that you had earlier from the people who were presenting from your agencies and people who have worked on this for a long time is probably the information that you really need in order to be able to make your decision. I've been involved in this project for a long time. I've worked with Mayor Adams on it for a number of years. I encountered it when I was the county commissioner, and we purchased the line for transit, and then it just laid fallow for quite a long time.
I didn't know you were a county commissioner, really? 23 well, years ago? Wow.
No, not 23. Yeah, well, in the early 90s.
Yeah.
So I wasn't there in 88 when this really started, but when we were giving the money, I was there.
Thank you for that.
So so we knew that at some time that this would be a valuable transit corridor, but we didn't know when. And it seemed to me like that was really a long ways off, and so, you know, nothing much was done about it. When I became mayor, the tram became a project, and the extension of the streetcar under PSI became much more viable in the extensions. And, of course, you have proven records on how effective the streetcar is regarding development and as a transit alternative. Look at the Pearl, and now it's going to open on the east side. I mean, this has been really a diamond in the crown of Portland. We have people coming here from everywhere to look at our streetcar and transit projects. And when the tram was being discussed, it seemed to me as mayor then that, oh, well, for heaven's sakes, here we would have an opportunity to tie into the regional transportation system. And indeed, here we have the right-of-way, and it goes all the way to OHSU, but then, of course, it also goes all the way around Portland. And we could make that into a viable commuter line.
while we do have a circulator through the Pearl, it doesn't mean that a streetcar has to be a circulator. And we don't want light rail. It's too expensive, too intrusive. So the next really proven transit project was streetcar. And that's why we started down this road, to look at the benefits of streetcar. And that's really when I became acquainted with Mayor Adams and looking at how we could get to Lake Oswego and bringing it down from OHSU and what would be the right alignment. And we now have further discussions on that. And I'm glad to see that the amendments that you made are essentially the same ones that Lake Oswego made, were recommended by our newspaper in being able to move this project forward and get more information. Doesn't matter how much information we get, there will be people who are still opposed to it. But I think about the mistakes that have been made in Milwaukee and Gresham, Georgetown,